Hey, Tumble listeners, before we get to this week's episode, I want to let all of you know that Lindsay and I are going to be doing a special Zoom call open to anyone who supports us on Patreon at any level. If you'd like to spend a little bit of time hanging out with us on Zoom, all you got to do is just go to Patreon and support us at any level. $1, that's all it takes, and we'll send you an invite. To join us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/tumblepodcast or click the link in the episode description.
Hi, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Welcome to Tumble, the show where we explore stories of science discovery.
Today, we're on the case with a molecular detective.
Does that mean a molecule that's a detective, like a bunch of atoms bonded together wearing a little hat and a trench coat?
I love the image, but it's just the opposite. It's a science detective who studies molecular clues to solve big mysteries inside our bodies.
Okay, so who is this molecular detective that we're about to meet? I'm kind of imagining a character out of a mystery novel or like a black and white detective film from the 1940s. Like, I found some hydrogen sulfide, see? I'm going to make it talk.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So let's set our own scene to meet the detective. It's late at night. We see the outside of a science lab. Inside, there's a woman at her computer. Now, we look towards the door with a mysterious silhouette and shadow through the window. The door opens and I step in. I'm here to interview her for our podcast.
Wait, are you actually in the room or is this like a Zoom call or something?
Technically, it was a Google Meet.
Oh.
And we didn't do the interview at night, but, you know, I'm just trying to set a mood here. Let's move on.
Can you just start by telling me your name and title?
Yes, my name is Mona Mankara, so I'm Dr. Mona Mankara.
I'd like to make it clear from the beginning that I'm the one who asks the questions. Mona seems nice, but I start quickly. I asked Mona what makes her a molecular detective.
I basically call myself, we call our team, we're a bunch of molecular detectives. We use computers to try to understand how do molecules interact? How are they moving?
She doesn't sound nearly as hard-boiled as I was expecting her to. She sounds sort of gleeful and excited.
Well, Mona's a lot of things you might not expect, as we're about to find out. But she is a fan of mystery novels.
The reason why I call us like molecular detectives, it really is like being a detective like Sherlock Holmes was with mysteries, right?
Sherlock Holmes is one of the best made-up detectives of all time.
Exactly. So Mona thinks of herself as a real-life Sherlock, but for the lungs, those big organs in our chest that help us breathe.
Let's say there's some kind of disease in the lungs. Then you'd want to have to figure out what is happening, and you start asking the same type of questions as if you're trying to solve a mystery.
Questions like, where were you on the night of the 13th? Lung. Do you have an alibi?
Let's just say it's the molecular version of that.
It's exactly similar type of thinking. So that's why we're like molecular detectives. We're trying to understand, what are these molecules doing? How are they helping fighting disease? How can we help them fight disease even more?
So she's trying to figure out who you can trust and who you can't in this case. You know my approach. Trust no one as far as you can throw them.
All right, let's get to know Mona then. I continue my questioning. Why does she do what she does?
Curiosity. Curiosity is what drives me. And the more people tell me that I, like, oh, it doesn't matter or I can't learn it, the more I want to learn it.
She tells me that her curiosity about science started with TV shows.
Honestly, ever since I was a kid and I watched Magic School Bus, Ms. Frizzle, Bill Nye the Science Guy, and I understood that there's so many things happening around us in the universe and I wanted to know how it's all working.
That set Mona on the path to becoming a scientist, and later, she took a turn towards an invisible world.
And then when I grew older, I learned there's these molecules that are teeny tiny that nobody can really see, but they really impact everything from how we can take in medicine to how when you do a volcano experiment with baking soda and vinegar, why things kind of fizz up.
Yeah, it's really fascinating how molecules make up everything that happens in the physical world. It's like just a huge number of atoms bonded together, and then you get Earth.
Exactly. And that appealed to Mona for a special reason.
When I learned that, I wanted to learn more about what they did. And because nobody can really see them, and I'm blind, I felt like, you know, we're all on equal footing.
Mona lost her vision gradually during childhood, and it made her question what she was learning about how science works.
I feel like for a long time we are taught science is observable, right? Science is when you observe something. And we are taught that you can really only observe with your eyes. But I remember learning, well, nobody's really observing these atoms with their eyes. So how can they say that, you know?
Yeah, we have ways to visualize or make images of atoms, but that's not quite the same as actually seeing them.
Exactly.
So I felt like science is not just observable with the eyes. There's so many different ways to observe.
Mona says that being blind has helped her notice things sighted scientists miss with other kinds of observations.
And so that could be through touch, that could be through sound, and I feel like that gives me an advantage because everybody's taught to use their eyes first. But when you can't use your eyes, then you have to be more creative and clever to try to observe what's around you.
That's cool, just like Sherlock Holmes, who noticed things that others couldn't.
Right, and that might be one of the reasons why Mona says Sherlock is one of her biggest heroes.
It's elementary.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll find out how Mona takes on cases.
For over 6 years, The Past and the Curious has been winning fans, sharing stories of real people from the past, and making people smile. I'm Mick Sullivan, author of I See Lincoln's Underpants, which is a book about, well, famous people's underwear. You'll find all of those stories and much more in the hundreds of episodes of The Past and the Curious. You know, quite often people will say to me, Mick, my kid loves your show. But you know what? I love your show too. And that's what it's all about. Bringing grown-ups and kids together to learn and laugh while they discover new stories about underwear saving people's lives, the origin of the swimsuit, or figures like inventor Garrett Morgan, astronomer Mariah Mitchell, or spy and baseball player Mo Berg. So if you want to get hip to the show, you can find The Past and the Curious in all the usual podcast places. The Past and the Curious with Mick Sullivan. That's me.
This episode is brought to you with support from Factor. Factor makes delicious, ready-to-eat meals that you can get delivered straight to your door. There are over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan and veggie, and so much more. And there are a whole bunch of nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. We got our first shipment of meals a few weeks ago, and I have to say, I absolutely loved it. Like, really, authentically, I did really love it. The meals were super easy to prepare and portioned perfectly, which makes it a great option for those of us who are trying to watch our calorie intake. That might be me. Every single meal was absolutely delicious, on par with the best prepared food I've ever eaten from a grocery store or even most restaurants, and I loved how easy it was to put together. And for listeners of Tumble, Factor is offering 50% off. Head to factormeals.com/tumble50 and use the code tumble50 to get 50% off your order. That's code tumble50 at factormeals.com/tumble50 to get 50% off.
And we're back. So now we know why Mona's a molecular detective, and we're about to find out how she helps our body track down the criminals.
All right, so what is the scene of the crime that she's tracking down these criminals in?
Well, remember that Mona is like the Sherlock of the lungs? That's because the lungs are where lots of different disease germs enter our body and try to make us sick.
I guess lungs are just sort of like the first place you look, right? The open window where all the criminals are getting in because we need it to stay open so we can breathe.
Exactly. So Mona is trying to help our body catch the crooks before we even notice them.
So what I'm working on is actually helping you boost your immune system to fight diseases in general better.
So the immune system is our body's natural defense against diseases. And Mona's focused on its tiny molecular soldiers.
So there's these really cool molecules called surfactant proteins, and they're immunoproteins, and they're found in your lungs, but also in your skin, in your tears, in your saliva, in like your digestive system.
So wait, I've got surfactant proteins everywhere, like in my mouth right now. Can I spit them all out at once?
No. Our bodies have many different kinds of proteins, which are long chains of molecules that have special jobs to do. So the surfactant protein's job is to ring the alarm when a disease comes through.
And these molecules are designed to identify any disease that comes. When it identifies it, it attaches onto it like a little flag, and it tells your immune system, come kill this thing.
So if we have all these little proteins telling our immune system to attack the disease, why do we still get sick?
Well, they don't always catch their target, and that's where Mona comes in.
And so what I'm working on is try to help these immunoproteins, these molecules, to be better at identifying the disease.
Okay, so she's like the Sherlock Holmes to the immunoprotein Scotland Yard. They're trying their best, but there's a lot that they're missing.
That's why Mona's on the case. She's looking for clues and making deductions with the help of technology.
This is about the power of what computers can help you. Like, if you can make your computer help predict certain things, then that's going to help you have to do less guessing in the real world.
To make these predictions, Mona programs models into her computer, reconstructing molecules atom by atom.
Some of the molecules I study are actually kind of huge in the sense of they're not huge for us as human beings, but they're huge in the sense there's so many atoms in there.
Yeah, so it's sort of like trying to build a sandcastle one grain of sand at a time.
Exactly.
It's a lot of grains of sand.
They're very complicated. And the twist is that these atoms move by a completely different set of rules.
You know, there are certain rules. You throw up a ball, it comes back down because of gravity. But even though we are made up of all these atoms, the atoms are not following the same rules, which like kind of is mind-blowing.
Wait, so this is like if Sherlock Holmes was to say, maybe the thief came in by walking on the ceiling.
Exactly. Luckily, scientists have been working on figuring out these new rules of how molecules move for a long time now.
Oh, that's great. So we're not starting over completely. We know which thieves can walk on the ceiling and which can't.
So Mona takes these rules and these molecules and codes them into a program in her computer, playing out how they act in the lungs.
So there's one molecule that I studied that actually had 150,000 atoms. And I needed to know, how are they all moving? What are they all doing? And so I created a mathematical tool that allowed me to understand how they moved.
Wait, so she needs to understand how 150,000 different microscopic parts are moving? That's really a lot.
It is. But like her hero Sherlock Holmes, Mona used her cunning and unique viewpoint on the problem to solve the mystery of the molecule.
So normally other scientists, what they'll do is they'll create a little movie, right? That they can see on the computer, but I couldn't see that movie. So I had to create mathematical equations that helped me plot the movement. And when I did that, I was able to pick out patterns that nobody else saw, literally, that they missed.
Well, so because so many other scientists were looking at the molecule the same way, they were missing patterns that became obvious when Mona looked at it differently.
Yeah. And it made it easier for Mona to understand how the molecules were working in the lungs and how to stop them. And for Mona, that's a big win.
When it's like, I figured out what this molecule is doing, and it's like, woohoo, party today. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's so cool. So like she said before, having a different way to observe things is actually an advantage.
Absolutely.
Being a scientist as a blind person has taught me that science is bigger than all of us. That you don't have to see to do science. That it's all about solving the mystery. And there's so many mysteries to solve. That the world is so vast and there's so much out there that we don't know. And I'm really excited to figure out, even if it's a little bit every day.
So when I leave Mona's office, she turns back to her computer, returning to wrangle with the mysteries of the molecular detective.
You can also be a science detective. Think of a question that you have about science, and now think about how you'd investigate the case.
For example, you could question people who might have answers, like your parents or teachers, or you could find books on the topic at the library or search the internet. Maybe you could imagine how you'll do your own experiments.
Put your ideas into a story where you play the role of the detective. Include the facts you find out or your designs for experiments.
You might even create a villain who's trying to keep you from finding the answer. Be creative and send us your story at tumblepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to read it. Thanks to Mona Minkara, professor of bioengineering at Northeastern University, where she runs the Combine Lab. And like many great detectives, Mona's also got another cool identity. She's the blind traveler. You can join her travels around the world on her YouTube channel, Planes, Trains, and Canes.
You can watch these videos and get other resources about Mona and her research and accessibility work available on the blog on our website, sciencepodcastforkids.com.
And you can hear more from Mona herself on the bonus interview episode on our Patreon at patreon.com/tumblepodcast.
This material is based upon work supported by the National Science Foundation under grant number 2148711, Engaging Blind, Visually Impaired, and Sighted Students in STEM, with storytelling through podcasts.
Special thanks to the team who helped us with this episode, Dr. Peter Walters and Dr. Carrie Sapallo and the rest of the team at Independent Science.
Also thanks to Dr. Kelly Reidinger, Dr. Martin Storksteek, and Dr. Victoria Sellers at Oregon State University's STEM Research Center, and Dr. Timothy Spuck at AUI.
Sarah Robertson-Lentz edited this show and designed the episode art. Peter Walters is our editorial consultant for the series. Elliot Hajaj is our production assistant. And Gary Calhoun-James engineered and mixed this episode. I'm Lindsay Patterson, and I wrote this episode.
And I'm Marshall Escamilla, and I made all the music and sound design for this episode. Tumble is a production of Tumble Media. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more stories of science discovery. All right, everybody, here we are at the end of the episode, and everyone knows what that means. It's time for the Patreon, people! We got a bunch of birthday shoutouts to give, so here we go. First, to Ethan, we're so proud of you for being a wonderful human, with love from Mom, Dad, and Cody, and a belated happy birthday on February 15th. Theodore, keep asking questions and seeking answers, and a happy birthday on February 16th. John, another happy birthday happening on February 16th. Keep being curious and ready for new adventures. Mom, Dad, sister, and your whole family love you beyond, beyond. Rivers, stay curious and happy birthday on February 18th. And a shout out to a fierce little she-wolf, Birdie, on her birthday on February 20th. Mom and Dad love you. Happy February 23rd birthday to Claire, everyone's favorite future shark scientist, with love from Mom, Dad, and Alden. Another happy February 23rd birthday to June. Mom and Dad love your curiosity and your questions. Stay creative, strong, and independent. To Christopher and Grace, happy birthday on February 25th. Mom and Dad are proud of both of you and know you will accomplish your dreams. To Reese, happy birthday, little dude, on February 27th. And a thanks to all of you and to everyone who supports Tumble on Patreon. If you want to get a birthday shout out of your own, like these fine folks, or have a Zoom call with me and Lindsay, just support us on Patreon at the $5 level or higher by going to patreon.com/tumblepodcast. Once again, that's patreon.com/tumblepodcast.